remember the night we Stanley West in Fur. He was away on a job. He had got blood tests done. He was away on a job. They couldn't find him. His phone wasn't working. And they sent for him right away to the hospital. His blood was so low. And he's going to have a blood transfusion. And they're not sure why his blood's so low, but he needs healing and he needs salvation. And if we could just pray for him, the Lord will heal him and save him. And also, we Chloe's got home. They tested her for COVID-19 as well, and she was free of it. And know of another young man as well. They tested him, and he was free of it as well. Praise God. And it's good that we can gather. I know there's not many, but it's good we can gather. Amen. You weren't perfect to gather here, you were, right? Because you could meet in a pub. You wouldn't be allowed to meet at home, but you'd meet in a pub. That's the rules we have in this country. That six can't, no more than six can meet in a home, but you can meet in a pub. And you know, I've seen a survey today. On that survey that I saw today, there's three times as many as died with the flu this year than what's died with COVID-19. And that's a survey I've seen today. I don't know how true it is. But I'm telling you, the whole thing's over the top. And it's God we're trusting, and it's God we're believing. Amen. I want to just talk to you a bit about tonight about faith, and I don't want maybe to preach so much, just to talk really. If we could turn to the Word of God, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6 to 14. And I think while we're able to meet and we're allowed, let's continue on. Mm-hmm. I don't know what will happen over the next few weeks. I'm not in control of any of that, but let's do what we can while we're able to do it. Amen. And we thank God for the freedom we do have. Praise God. Let's read from verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6, down to 14. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the earth. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are sealed of a spiritual gift, seek that ye may excel to edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now I'm not going to, we can read on, but if you read on, one of the gifts of spirits, faith, and I want to talk about faith tonight. And we believe in tongues, we believe in interpretation of tongues, we believe in all the gifts of spirit. And I believe that every true church that's claiming that they want to be like the original church should have these gifts operating. Now that doesn't mean every time you meet that you have to have it, but you could have it. Amen. What I mean by that is you can't force it. It has to be the Spirit of God. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? But you could have it if it was the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God was moving, and we certainly want the Spirit of God to move. Let's just pray, and if you have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord tonight, and we will remind you. God bless you. God bless you in prayer. God bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the precious word of truth. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will indeed speak to us from your holy word tonight. Lord, that you'll give us, Lord, something from your word. Encourage your people and strengthen them. Help us to covet earnestly the best gifts, as Paul here has told us in your word. And Father, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit and for this gift of faith. Lord, help us to have that gift of faith. afresh in every one of us tonight. We submit ourselves to you. We yield ourselves to you. And we're asking you to fill us, Lord. Forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us for wrong thinking, wrong acting, wrong doing. Lord, if we spoke amiss in any way or against a brother or sister, cleanse us, sanctify us, forgive us. Wash us with your word and with your precious blood. And God, fill every fiber of our beings with the Holy Ghost and power. Let the Holy Spirit come on us. Let the Holy Spirit be in us. Let the Holy Spirit be through us, through and through, Lord, and all over in Jesus' precious name. May we know your presence by faith and by feeling in every way it can be known. May we know it, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And Father, ask for the hands raised tonight, Lord, that you will meet every need of that brother, that sister, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've touched sweet Chloe. We pray you continue to touch her. Raise her up and heal her and save her in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for Stanley West tonight. Lord, he needs salvation. Father, I pray this will be a time of reflection. Will you speak to them? Will you move upon them? And will you grant them mercy this evening, Lord, in Jesus' righteous name? For others that's in hearts in this room tonight, for the brethren that brothers here mentioned, Lord, we think of the woman's fears. Father, that you'll touch her, that you'll heal her, Lord, that you'll raise her up to strength and save every one of them in Jesus' righteous name. Cover us all, our children and our loved ones, with your blood and with your protection, Lord. I take the Holy Spirit now to help the Lord in Jesus' precious name, and know that you will, Lord, and thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise God. Now I want to go back to Matthew chapter 17, and I wanted to share a couple of thoughts this evening. Two different things just reading and thinking about. Two statements, but Matthew 17, and I preached not specifically on this verse, but mentioned it in one of the services in the lockdown, and Brother Matthew was there working the things, and the presence of God came in a powerful way in the room. Verse 14 of Matthew 17, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore backs, for all times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now I want you to know that these are the same disciples in chapter 10 that's been given power. They've already been given power in chapter 10, and they've been told, go forth, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the leper. And many knows the Bible says that. Now this is something interesting. I was listening to a sermon when William Branham preached, and it's called Perfect Faith. And he made a tremendous statement that I'm going to share with you tonight in that sermon. And it really spoke to me. And he mentions this scripture and the disciples, and about the power and about the faith. And I thought it was powerful. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. Now you know, as you read on, the disciples came to him saying, why couldn't we do it? And then you know Jesus eventually says to them, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now I want you to read this from a message called Perfect Faith, paragraph 62, what William Branham says about this. This boy could not be healed because the disciples had powers. Jesus gave them power to heal all manner of sickness, to cast out devils, to cleanse lepers, to raise the dead. He gave them power, but they didn't have the faith to operate the power they had. So they had already the power, but they hadn't the faith to operate the power they were already given. And in chapter 10, if you go back in Matthew, you know he gave them power. And they went out and done things, but here in chapter 17, they can't do it. And here's what he says about it. He gave them power, but they didn't have the faith to operate the power that they had. And then they questioned Jesus and said, well, why couldn't we do it? Now remember, they had the word, and the word was flesh then. And the word told them, I give you power, amen. I give you the power, and they had the power, but they didn't have the faith to and he had faith in God who made him the Word. He was God, the Word, and they was in him, and that gave him faith because he understood his position. He knew what he was because the Scripture had said he was this, and here every Scripture tied in to prove he was exactly what the Scripture said he would be, and he knew what he was. He's talking about the Lord. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him, and if he did that, then that can we rely upon what God made us as believers. And what did God make us as believers? Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. So if God has given us the Word, there's nothing else we need but faith to make that Word happen. Now, I'm not talking about just a measure of faith, and I hope you can understand me tonight. I'm talking about the gift of faith. And I don't know how I rightly can explain it, but if you can understand it, the gift of faith, when it comes on you, you'll say it and you know it's going to happen. How many understands that? When it comes on you, the gift of faith, there's no effort. There's absolutely no effort. When the gift of faith comes on you to do someone or to pray for somebody, you know it's going to happen. There's no question about it. The gift of faith's in operation. And Jesus has already given us the Word. Mark 16, lay hands on the sick. Are we believers? If we're believers, we have the right to that Scripture. We've also the right where we call the elders of the church, and them elders have the right, according to this Bible, and James, call the elders of the church. They have the right as well, so therefore, if they've got the right and the Word's here to do it, then we need to do it. We can do it. And if we have faith, and Jesus goes on also to say, when you read down through Matthew 17, if your faith is a grain of mustard seed, that's small, you'll speak to the mountain. Amen. You can speak to the mountain if you've got the faith. Now we want the power of God. We need the power of God. How many agrees with that? We need the power of God. And then when God gives us his power, we need the faith to operate that power. Amen. We need both. We need the power of God and we need the faith. Now here's an interesting thing, and I read this in my Bible, but it's a quote from Smith Wigglesworth. Now I want to take my time and read this. It's really something what he says to this woman. He makes this woman, do you see that the words of the Master are the instructions of faith? It is impossible for anything that Jesus says to miss. Impossible. All his words are spirit and life, John 6:63. If you will only have faith in him, you will find that every word that God gives is life. You cannot be in close contact with him and receive his word in simple faith without feeling the effect of it in your body as well as in your spirit and soul. And that's tremendous. Now I want to read this out again. It's in big writing here in the middle of this page. I thought this was powerful. Now I know we don't go on feeling, but how many believe Wigglesworth is a man of God?
Yes.
Now I believe what he's saying. You cannot be in close contact with him and receive his word in your simple faith without feeling the effect of it in your body as well as in your spirit and in your soul. So Wigglesworth saying, when you come in contact with Jesus, you'll feel it on your flesh, in your spirit, and in your soul. Some people say you only have it in the spirit. He's saying all three. And you can prove that from the Bible. How many knows that? Because the Holy Spirit come on them, and it come in them. Amen. Amen. Both. And I believe what Wigglesworth saying, if, follow with me this morning. Faith. A woman came to me in Cardiff, Wales, who was filled with ulcers. She had fallen in the streets twice because of this trouble. When she came to the meetings, it seemed as if the evil power within her posed to kill her right there and then. She fell and the power of the devil was attacking her severely. Not only was she helpless, but it seemed as if she had died. She had died. I cried, oh God, help this woman. Then I rebuked the evil power in the name of Jesus, and instantly the Lord healed her. She rose up and made a great to-do. She
feel the power of God. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? I want to feel it in every meeting. Amen. 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 When I go alone and pray, I want to feel the power of God. Amen. Now I know we're not going on the feel, on the feeling, but it's there and it's real, just as it's real in the spirit and in the soul, as he says. Amen. After 3 days she went to another place and began to testify about the Lord's power to heal. Now we didn't hear what he told her. She came to me and said, I want to tell someone about the Lord's healing power. Don't you have any tracts on the subject? And he said, I have. And he closed his Bible and he gave it to her. He said, there's a tract you need there. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And he said, that's the best tract on healing. And he told her to read it, but the miracles of Jesus. And then he goes on to say, here's what he says. That is where men are lacking. All lack of faith is due to not feeding on God's word. It's not about listening to somebody over here or over here, but it's about feeding on the word of God. We need to have personal time reading the word of God. We need to have personal time hearing the word of God. You know, there's a wee man, Brother John would know of him, and was in a sermon with Sammy Thompson. And Sammy Thompson had a tape. I had it years ago. I don't know if I still have it or not. I have all the scriptures he wrote out. I copied them. I listened to them and wrote them all out years and years ago. I have them in a file somewhere. But Sammy Thompson would just read scripture after scripture. And he made it on a tape. And he hardly said anything, but he just read scriptures. And that tape was so mightily used of God, just reading the scriptures, that people would hear it, and it was all with scriptures and healing. And as you hear the word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And Wigglesworth said, this is the lack in God's people. We need to feed on the living Christ in whom the word is full, as you're taken up with this glorious fact and wondrous fact of the living Christ, the faith of God will spring up within you. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. So we need to hear the word of God. How many used to the old tapes you could play the Bible? Scorbit. It was brilliant. Some of the modern ones are not as good. The singing in the background can almost put you off it a bit. But he was good reading it. Not only that, when you listen to him reading the Bible, you learn to pronounce it right. The book of Joel and all the different names. Maybe some of it, I know myself, I wouldn't have pronounced them right. But that was a good way to learn how to do it right, was listening to the word of God. Amen. You know, when I traveled for 6 months, and the first trip I went on a missionary trip, I was away for 6 months. 1991. I was away from home for 6 months. I left my job, but almost out of my time, brother, serving my time at Bacon, and I left the whole lot and went. And I'm telling you, the boy I was working for, I rang him and told him he wasn't coming back. He wasn't happy. But I used to read the Bible as we would travel. We would be driving for days. I would read the scriptures. And I just keep reading the scriptures. And I believe it's good to read the scriptures. And there's a young man, and me and him used to meet, and we used to read a full book of the Bible every time we met. Now, if it was Jeremiah, we read all of it. If it was Isaiah, we read the whole book. It didn't matter which book, any book, we read it all when we met. And the way we did it, we would go out into a field, and he'd read a chapter, I'd read a chapter, and we'd get to it. It didn't matter the time or anything, that's the way we'd done it. And in our own private reading, we would read 10 chapters a day. And I told you before, I read the book of Job once, 8 times in a row. And there's a lot of reading in the book of Job. I was in jail when I done that. But it affects you when you read the word of God, I guarantee you. Now, I have an office full of books, as you know. There's books everywhere. I've read lots of them and all that. But there's no book like the Bible. There's no book like the Bible. And I believe Wigglesworth is right. The Bible is the book we need to read. The Bible is the word of God. And God wants us to have faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God wants to give us the power, and he wants us to give us the faith to work And I went to that story of the wee woman. What was her name?
Florence Nightingale.
And William Brown was written a letter by Florence Nightingale when he come to Durban, South Africa, and F.F. Bosworth said, there's no way you can go. It's impossible. So they prayed and he said, Lord, if it's your will, as a sign for me to go to Durban, South Africa, and he committed it to God and all the rest of it, and he never went. They raised his trip, but he had to go to England and he prayed for King George. Now I know there's a whole lot of dry hides. They'll try and tell you William Branham never prayed for George in England, but I can assure you he did. And not only did he pray for him, he had conducted no speeches for months, and after William Branham prayed for him 2 days later, he conducted speeches and addressed the people. And you know what did the angel tell him at the start? You'll pray for kings and monarchs. Is that right? And he done it. But what I'm telling you is, he was in England and the loudspeaker came over when he landed in England and they asked for him. And Florence Nightingale had made a last ditch effort to come. She weighed about 50 pound weight. And remember, she's almost 6 feet tall. Now a woman that's almost 6 feet tall and she weighs 50 pounds weight, and you saw the photograph, her legs and arms was like broomsticks. She was that thin. And he never got to see her away late to the evening, and there's so many engagements. And all the ministers come in the room, Ern Baxter, F.F. Bosworth, there's a lot of them there. They come in the room and they come around her, and the nurse took the sheet back so they could see how thin she was. She was just a skeleton. And tears in her eyes. And he said he didn't even know how she got the moisture for the tears. She was so far gone. And he asked the doctor coming through the door, he whispered, is there any hope? And he said, there's no hope whatsoever she can live. It's impossible. And William Branham prayed the Lord's Prayer over her. Now, if you prayed the Lord's Prayer over somebody, that'd go out and say, didn't pray much of a prayer over me. It's not true. They'd say, why'd you pray the Lord's Prayer? But he prayed the Lord's Prayer over her. And when he prayed the Lord's Prayer, he said, thus saith the Lord, you're going to live. And the people went and were shocked. And Ern Baxter said, Brother Branham, have you made a mistake? And he says, no, for I never said it. He did. God said. But he said that was faith. That was perfect faith. And that woman was healed and raised up by the power of God. Now, no other interesting thing I didn't know, and I was listening to that. I told you the other night that Billy Graham was the boy that knelt down where John Wesley's chapel was in the footprints of 1940, and the man that took him around to see John Wesley's chapel, there was a young man missing, he went back, he found him praying, knelt down in the prints that John Wesley had made beside of his bed, and he found him praying, Lord, do it again. That was Billy Graham. But William Branham also went to that chapel, and he put Wesley's cloak on him and stood up behind the pulpit. And I can tell you, nothing bad to say about John Wesley, how good he is. And I hear people saying things to David Wesley and his message. I'll tell you what, people that claim to be Pentecostal haven't even got what John Wesley had. That's the truth. If there was, I believe he was a Pentecostal. The power of God was in that man. Signs and wonders followed him. Amen. And you know, when the church age messenger was picked, why were they picked? Because of the Pentecostal blessing. That's why they were picked. the exact same Holy Spirit. The Bible says in it, to another the gift of faith, the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing, the same Spirit. The gift of faith is a wonderful gift that's not, I don't believe it's even fully understood. I'm not even saying I fully understand it, because I probably don't. But I know one thing, when that comes on you, anything can happen. I believe that. Amen. I believe some of us in this room have experienced it. Well, that gift of faith can come on you. You're going to say it. And you know it's going to happen. And it does happen. That's the gift of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Here is the gift that is mighty. And this position of category of spiritual manifestation has come before the gifts of healing and work in America. It's this gift of faith before them all. Faith that can move a mountain. Amen. The gift of faith can be defined as faith imparted by the Spirit of God. That's what the gift of faith. Faith imparted by the Spirit of God. The power of God can come on you. Let me say it like this. I'm sure you'll agree with this. When the power of God comes, that gift of faith with her. Many believes that. When the power of God comes, that faith's with it. It's with the power of God. Because it's the same Spirit. How many understand what I'm saying? That same Spirit. It's with it. Prophecies with it. Because it's the same Spirit. And he will give several as he will. Is that what it says? That God will give several as he will. Amen. The gift of faith can be defined. Faith and part of the Spirit of God. For protection in times of danger. God can give you faith. You say faith in times of danger. Absolutely. Daniel. Elijah. You said the gift of faith, yes, when he sat at the brook. And God said, ravens will feed you. He didn't give him a shopping list. He told him to go back and wait there, and the ravens would feed him. And the raven is a type of bird that spends all day feeding itself. It's not in its nature to do what it done. But God said it'll do it. Now, Elijah never worked at it. He just waited there. That's faith. Now when Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, he had faith. Now Daniel didn't work on it when he got down in there. He didn't try and work on it. He done nothing. The gift of faith was there. The lions couldn't touch him because God had said it. Now let me go for a moment just into something when I was thinking about Daniel. Here. Daniel was thrown into the lion's dens because he would not stop praying till Almighty God. There was a test. He must either stop praying or be cast into the den of lions. Some people stop praying without ever any lions. They don't need to be thrown into any. They don't pray. I'm telling you someone, we need to be people of prayer. There's no power of God without prayer. I'm telling you. The prayer meeting is the most important meeting. It's the least attended. It's the least popular. I don't know why. Now I know people have to work and all these things. I understand that. And maybe because it's midweek and all them things. But besides that, people will run to anything but not a prayer meeting. They'll go to every gimmick there is. And all sorts of things. They'll go to it, but not a prayer meeting. But the Pentecostal blessing started with an upper room prayer meeting. And we need prayer meetings and people's going to come and pray. And Daniel here in a prayer meeting three times. region. He prayed that Pacific direction because he'd read the Word of God. And God has given us specific instructions to pray. And how many of those tongues is one of them? We're to pray in the Spirit and to pray in truth. They that worship me shall worship in Spirit and in truth. Amen. How many's ever heard somebody singing in tongues? Now, no Brother John would have heard people years ago. I'm telling you the truth of that. Some of us younger ones might have knew of it, but that's the way it used to be. It's not the truth, brother. People would sing in the Spirit, sing in tongues. Not only would they sing in tongues, they'd give an interpretation of it. Singing. The Spirit would so come on them. I tell you, that's what we need a good dose of. Amen. How many believes that? That the Spirit of God comes on us. And that Spirit will bring the faith with it. We've got the Word, but we need that faith and the power to operate it. To see it happen, praise God. Let me go back a moment to Daniel. Maybe I didn't know. It's Daniel 6, 10, 11. You can read it. Now I'm going to stop in a moment. But Daniel had a way he prayed. As a result, he was thrown into the den of lions because he'd done this. What did Daniel do in the den? He did nothing. Nothing. He had already done his part. God never said, you'll not go in the furnace. But he was with them in it. And he brought them out of it. Ain't that something? He didn't stop Daniel being through in there, but he preserved them in it. And even though people come and drop it everywhere, if you believe God, God can preserve you in the midst of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? I want you to get that. God can preserve you. We need to believe God that He'll preserve us and our families. And even if we have people that's not saved that we love, believe for them as well. God can do it for them. How many believe that? Certainly can. Plead the blood. Use the weapons God's given us. The greatest weapon to the church is the blood of Jesus Christ. And they overcame it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Praise God. God had given him faith. Faith so mighty that the lions couldn't even touch him. He knew God. Praise God. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Through faith we understand the world were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made which things which do appear. So from nothing faith done something. Faith. The impossible is possible with faith. Praise God. Look at Jesus saying in Matthew 26 verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He could have done it. Now we know he didn't because he went on to the cross. Faith can expect the help of heaven's legions of angels if required. Are you hearing me? Faith can expect the help of heaven's legions of angels. People talk about demons and demons' power. What about the angels of God? What about the power of the Holy Ghost? I tell you, God's real. I was watching also T.L. Osborne. A lot of people wouldn't believe these things. And they don't. People have even wrote to me on social media telling me they couldn't follow any of my stuff because some of the ones I associate with. Now what that is, people that I have referred to that were caught up to heaven, how many's heard Ian McCormick's testimony? Well, they don't believe that either. There's not really much to do believe in supernatural. A lot of people out there. They're so straight they're crooked. But they need to get brought into a place called faith. And if they ever get into the place called faith, and Paul got into the next thing in the lines of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's what he got when he got into faith. He got the baptism. But Ian McCormick, you know Ian McCormick was bitten by the box jellyfish. That man died in the ambulance. Five times by the box jellyfish. And how many knows they had the label on his big toe in the mortuary? And he woke up.
fruit that had hit his toes. He gets some shock. Oh, fruit that right his toes or whatever way it happened. Can you imagine? But people don't believe that. I believe it. I believe it. You know why I believe it? Because of this book. This book is a supernatural book. This book says that when the disciples were in jail, the angels came and opened the jail and brought them out. Does it say? It says it. This book said Peter and John went up to pray and they met a lame man on the way. And they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have. There was faith. In the name of Jesus. And they rose up healed. And they didn't carry him up and he leaped and he danced up and amen. Faith. But T.L. Osborne said he saw Jesus. Now there's only one thing I can say about that. He came back from India defeated. And they had a black book called the Quran. He had a black book called the Bible. Him and Daisy Osborne come back defeated. And he said there has to be the gospel power like they had in the Bible. And he fasted and prayed and he met with the Lord. And after that, when he went back to India, it wasn't like the first time, because the blind saw and the deaf heard when he preached the gospel. And I tell you, I believe it. There's people don't believe it. How many believe you could see Jesus? Smith Wigglesworth told a wee woman, do you remember her name, Brother John? For she said the same presence in that meeting was the same as William Branham's meetings. That was it, brother.
Molly Creasy.
And Jesus, he said, is in this room right now, standing beside it. Wigglesworth said. He seen him. And the proof was there. And I tell you, we need the power of God. And we need that faith to operate the power. Let's come and pray tonight. I hope you're encouraged. Let's just pray and pray for also for Sunday. Samuel's going to be speaking in the morning, and Matthew, my brother Matthew's going to give his testimony in the evening. And then next week, my brother Gary will preach in the morning. And we'll maybe have some more testimonies coming as well. And then Mark and Ian as well. And then after that, we'll have a communion. Then the elders will be preaching again throughout the Lord willing over these next Sunday mornings. Pray for all these brothers that's going to be speaking. Pray for the power of God to come in these meetings in this room. To visit every one of us. We need that in our homes and we need it in this fellowship. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the precious word of God, for these wonderful testimonies of what you're able to do. For Lord, we know that you're real. Lord, forgive us for unbelief. Fill us with faith. Help us to be reading your word, meditating upon whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, thinking upon those things. We know your word will not return void, but accomplish that which you sent it to do, Lord. Lord, we need you tonight more than ever. We want to be in love with you more today than we were yesterday. And we're not ashamed to say it to the whole world. We love you, Lord Jesus. Because you first loved us and you gave yourself for us. Help us, Lord, to use what you've given us and increase that which we already have, Lord. Increase your faith, increase the power, increase the anointing, increase the blessing. Oh God, move in this meeting, in the meetings. Move upon everyone in this room tonight with the power of God, that faith would come down upon your people. Lord, that men and women would be fit to say things and you would back it up, Lord, and it would take place. Lord, we know your disciples prayed, Lord. Stretch thy arm forth with signs and with wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Perform the miraculous amongst us, we pray. Father, I ask you again for this Sunday, for both services, that the power of the Holy Spirit will move, that you'll touch lives and save men and women and deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, I ask for every son and every daughter that's represented in this room tonight. Lord, save every one of them in the name of the Lord. Save all that's near and dear to each one in this room tonight, whether it's a wife or a husband or
know you're coming soon. We know the world's going insane. But Lord, keep us with you. Help us be near you. Let the Holy Spirit come near tonight. Lord, we know if we talk about you, you'll come all the same. And we want to boast you and lift you up, Lord. And say there's no one like you, Lord Jesus, for you alone are worthy to receive all the glory and all the honor, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Move in thy own people that's got slack. Lord, it could have attended the house of God, but never bothered. Move upon them. Rid them of the fear of COVID-19 and fill them with the fear of God, which bringeth repentance. Oh God, move us again, I pray. Turn us again, your word says, and we shall be saved. Bless every brother and every sister in this room tonight. Just have your way as we seek your face and ask, Lord, that your presence will come amongst us. Just like Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord.